18 in Genesis chapter number 4. This is history. History from long ago. History from 6,000 years ago. True history. Inspired history. Real people, real places, and real events. The descendants of Cain. If you've ever read through the whole Bible, you know very well how much of a history book it is. Maybe that's why a lot of people like history. I certainly do. There's much we can learn from it, and if we don't learn from it, the old saying is we're doomed to repeat it. So there's much we can learn from it. Verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad beget Mahujael, and Mahujael beget Methusael, and Methusael beget Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of ever artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, 70 and 7-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't think I have ever heard a message from these verses that I have just read in my whole entire life. But right there it is in the Bible, just as inspired as John 3:16. And there are some things we can learn from these verses as we consider the sons of Lamech. The sons of Lamech. We've already been studying Cain, and we've seen what a jealous man he was. Very wicked man, the New Testament says. He rejected God's way of salvation. The Lord tried to reason with Cain several times, but there was no reasoning with Cain. He was not listening. So Cain was a very haughty man, self-conceited, jealous, and worldly, with no real reverence for God, and apparently his descendants, that I just read to us the names of, apparently they follow in his footsteps. And that's many times what happens, isn't it? The children, the grandchildren, and so forth follow their example. First of all, we're looking at the character of Lamech for a few moments from this passage. I read to us about five generations there in verse 18. I won't repeat all the names there. I'm not sure I pronounced them all properly, but there's five names. And of course, the first one is the son of Cain, and then his son, and on down the line. Five generations. We don't know anything about four of these. We don't know a single thing. Nothing's recorded about them. But when it comes to Lamech here, the last one, there are several things that we know about him from the verses that follow. And it's not good, but we're going to look at it for just a moment here. Lamech. It's very interesting that when we come to the next chapter, we'll have another Lamech. And we've said about Enoch, Cain's son, there's another Enoch. So it's easy to get these names mixed up because there's more than one Enoch, there's more than one Lamech, and it'd be very easy to get the two Methuselahs mixed up as well. It seems that they had a certain number of names, and they'd repeat those names. And we do that today, don't we? When we're thinking about naming a baby, we say, well, what was his grandpa's middle name? What was his great-grandmother? What was her? I mean, don't we do that? Don't we try to perpetuate a name? Sure we do. And so apparently that's been going on for a long time. Lamech, his name means conqueror, but he does not live up to his name. The other Lamech is Noah's daddy, but that's the next chapter. Well, what we find out about this Lamech is that he's a bigamist. He's got two wives at the same time. He's the first recorded rebel against God's divine command concerning monogamous marriage. The Bible says in verse 19, he took unto him Ada and Zillah. He took unto him two wives. Now that'd be an awkward situation. I don't know how in the world Solomon ever said to his 1,000 concubines, I love you with all my heart. And she'd say, no, you love me with 1,000th of your heart. How could you tell me that? And you're going to tell the next lady the same thing. You know, you can't be faithful but to one Lord, one spouse, and one church. Amen. Do you know that? Yeah. Well, this fellow Lamech, he's a rebel. And this rebellion will continue in the line of Cain. It will intensify, worsen, culminate in the judgment of the great flood in chapter number 6. Did you hear this man bragging? He says to his wives, hearken unto my speech, for I've slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. In other words, I have killed a man. I've killed a young man. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, 70 and sevenfold. So we notice of this man that he's a proud man. He's a boasting man. He doesn't need God. He never mentions God. He's taken vengeance into his own hands. Totally self-reliant. As we shall see, his sons have invented tools and weapons, and he feels like he can take care of himself. It's very blasphemous of him to say, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. What do you mean if, Mr. Lamech? God's the one that said that. There's no if about it. So he's saying he's important, as important as Cain, maybe 10 times more important than Cain. And even if God fails to do what he said, he himself will not fail. That's pretty proud, isn't it? When a man says, if God fails, I won't fail. So this man Lamech is a very proud, self-sufficient, blaspheming, godless man. Lamech. What I want to concentrate on tonight is the second point, and that's his boys, his 3 sons. I want you to stand amazed with me tonight at their knowledge. I want us to realize we're in Genesis chapter 4, and Adam has not been dead very long at this time. Apparently he dies during the days of Lamech, and he may have even known these boys. But we're going to take the time to glimpse at early man. Now this is early man. This is just 7 generations. These boys are the 8th generation from Adam. So we're still way back up 5,000 years ago and even further back. But I would have you notice with me tonight that there's no suggestion whatsoever that these people are primitive. There's no suggestion here that these are a bunch of cave-dwelling, illiterate, berry-picking early men. Not at all. In fact, let's just see how civilized they are. All the essentials of civilized life are mentioned here. The arts, science, husbandry, manufacturing, music, all right here from this early time. These people, 5,000 years ago plus, are very advanced, as we shall see. They're already writing songs, poetry, singing. There's mention of the harp and the organ. They know about stringed instruments. They know about wind instruments made famous by Lamech's son, Jubal, whose name means sound. Sound. Verse 22 here contradicts everything you've ever been told in your entire life. It says, "And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer," which means a craftsman in brass and iron. Now, if that's true, then everything the evolutionary archaeologists are telling us is not true. I want to be specific. Some of us have been out of school a long time, but we probably still remember the many times that the history books refer to the ages, the supposed ages. Early Stone Age, later Stone Age, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age. Is that ringing some bells? The Iron Age, just 3,000 years ago. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible mentions the use of iron 5,000 years ago. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. This verse I just read indicates early man competent in both brass and iron, both alloys of copper, at the same time 5,000 years ago. I know that's simple, but that just means every history book in this world, not written by a Christian, is telling our kids lies. Every time the archaeologists dig, everything they find confirms this book. You don't ever have to be afraid of what the archaeologists find. Let them find, let them dig. Amen. It's going to agree with this book. They didn't even believe in King David till the archaeologist found something in the last 20 years with his name on it. They didn't. They didn't want to believe it, even though Jesus mentioned David many times. They didn't even believe in the Hittites till the archaeologists dug up the whole kingdom, and now there's a Hittite museum in Turkey. I'm telling you the Bible's true, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. I'm telling you that history, science, and archaeology are our friends, and they're on the side of truth, and we have been lied to, we have been brainwashed, and the devil wants to tear down your faith in the authority of God's Word. It appears from the Bible that everything back then was a very high level of civilization. I love archaeology, don't you? Maybe you don't, but I do. The reason I do is because every time they find something, somebody's got to say, amen, the Bible's true. The Bible's true. Yeah. I mean, they found the name of Caiaphas. You remember the high priest during our Lord's trial? They found that on some archaeology tablets or something recently. In about 1933, they found an iron blade near Babylon. It was 2,000 years older than it was supposed to be. They dug it up and said, this thing's made out of iron. But it's 4,500 years old. Oh no, we got to hide this. Don't let the newspaper find out about this. This just tears down everything we've been telling people. That's why when they find dinosaur bones with red blood cells in them, proving that they're only thousands of years old, you don't hear about it because it's proving that evolution is a lie. That's right. Evolution's a dirty lie. There ain't no such thing as 65 million years ago. If you believe the Bible, you can't believe in that. And it's not that we're turning a blind eye to the evidence. They're just finding it and they are hiding it and reclassifying it. And they're just making up some very weird. I hope they find Noah's Ark. I believe they will. I might be wrong. But I believe they'll find it during the tribulation period, and that'll be another reason why 10 million more people get saved. It's up there. It was there, I know that. Amen? Was the ark on the mounts of Ararat? Yes, it was. This Tubal-Cain here, the Bible says he was an instructor of craftsmen, skilled in metallurgy. An inventor, a genius, knew all about brass and iron. 5,000 years ago. They found electric batteries, thousands of years old. But they don't tell you about that, though. They were made of copper and iron, but they're thousands of years old. They found lenses. They found microscopes, telescopes, thousands of years old. But you're not going to hear about that because the evolutionists want you to think we were a bunch of cave dwellers, primitive. They say we couldn't even read in the days of Moses. They say Moses could not have written the Pentateuch. They couldn't read and write back then. How ridiculous! Adam lived to be 900. He could outread any of us. Adam was perfect. He started out perfect. So don't tell me that we've been going up slowly. We've been going down. That's all we've been doing. We have been going down. We're the dumbest generation in a long time. If you don't believe that, you just moved to another country. You know what they think of America? I don't even want to tell you. You just study it for yourself. We only think we're smart. We only think we're smart. They found lenses. So many of them, they used to have them in a corner of the British Museum. Now they found so many hundreds of them showing that thousands of years ago they had telescopes and microscopes, and now the scientists have got to admit that these things exist. And they have found knives, and it looked like a little black spot on the knife. And they didn't think nothing of it. Then they looked at it under a microscope, and that had these tools, and they carved a whole scene that was so small you couldn't see it except under a microscope from thousands of years ago. Go to South America. Those people living in those cities today are not as smart as their ancestors who built the Mayan and Inca civilizations thousands of years ago. They're not evolving. They've been going down ever since. Going down, just like most places. So they found these lenses that allowed sea travel, which means there was commerce across the oceans thousands of years before Columbus. Thousands of years before Columbus, they crossed the oceans. It's in their documents. It's in their songs. It's printed. It's all there. They just don't want you to know that don't fit in. That just don't fit in. There's plenty of evidence. They came from the Middle East, came to Colombia, South America, to buy tin. Now, don't get me wrong. And I know you're looking at me funny. And I hate to be the first person telling you the truth in your whole life. But I am not going to apologize for the truth. I know how you feel. You feel like I've been lied to. And that's the way religious people feel when they finally understand that somebody's been lying to them all their life. Yeah. Been lied to. Christopher Columbus, he came to the Central Americas. I'm not going to deny that. He was a good Catholic. He started the Catholics coming. They killed the Indians by the hundreds of thousands. You want to make a hero out of Columbus? Go ahead. I don't think he deserves any recognition whatsoever. But don't say he was the first one here. They'd been coming here for thousands of years. They were very advanced. Help me, Jesus. They have maps. They mapped the whole world before the Ice Age and directly after the flood. They were looking for resources. If you came off the ark, what would you do? I tell you what you'd do. You'd look everywhere, map this place out, and find out where to live and where your kids to live and where there's resources and where to plant a garden and where there's gold and where there's silver and so forth. And so they did. And all these maps exist. They have a map that's thousands of years old and more minute and more accurate than the one National Geographic has got tonight. That's right. Consider the pyramids. pyramids. They're 4,000 years old. Cut with machinery, every piece fitted to perfection. I've been to the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. The men who cut stones today in 2015 admit they could not build the giant pyramid of Giza. They could do it, but it would take them longer today. 4,000 years later, longer today than it took them back then. Only took them 3 years back then. Why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you that the Bible teaches that early man was advanced. He was not primitive. We've just been taught that, and we think that, and we've got to get that out of our minds. And I'm out of time. I'm going to go to the last thought, but I could give you 500 examples of the fact that we started out at the top and we've been going down. There's so much ignorance in this country right now of the Bible. 66% of the people admit they never read it. It's no wonder they're ignorant. It's no wonder they're so easily brainwashed and so gullible. And they're far quicker. If the newsman came on tonight and said, "We found life on Mars. We found footprints of somebody on Mars," they'd believe that a lot quicker than they'd believe what I'm telling you tonight. Oh, yeah. Sure they would. You just explain the pyramids to me and then we'll go to point B. Amen. The pyramids, that giant one, the first one was the best. Hey, that thing's still here. Can I get a witness? You know anything else still here, 4,000 years old? Do you? Sound like they built that thing to last. Now that everything's disposable, isn't it? Now you buy a copier, and when it runs out of ink, you just might as well buy you a new copier. Throwaway generation. Well, here's the downside of all this is all their great progress here, it seemed to make them materialistic and self-sufficient, and like my grandma said, they're weaker and wiser, and they had great knowledge, and there's no way to compare to the knowledge they had, but they didn't have any wisdom to go along with it. And isn't that what you would expect? That those who lived in those days, who got to fellowship with Adam and lived 900 years, would you not expect them to be advanced? Of course. There's no reason to suspect otherwise. Well, before the chapter closes, here's some good news, and that's the birth of Seth. By this time, we're probably wondering, well, where does God fit into all this? Didn't God say that he's going to send somebody to defeat the devil? Chapter 3, verse 15, the virgin born seed of woman to conquer the devil. You mean God's going to, that seed of woman's going to descend from Cain? No. No, not from the line of Cain. He, the promised one, Jesus, would come from another one of Adam and Eve's sons, and his name is Seth, born in verse 25. Seth means appointed. He would take the place of Abel, whom Cain slew. Is that not an amazing thought that Adam has a son, Seth, after he's already got children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great. I mean, imagine somebody today having children after he's got great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Hey, you could do that if you lived to be 900. Yeah. It's hard to get this in our minds, isn't it? But Seth is born, thank God. And I'm almost done, but you know what that says to me? It says it doesn't matter what men do. God has a plan and a purpose, and he's going to work it out. You can't frustrate God's purpose, and it's going to march on down through the centuries. And so it did, and Jesus arrived just on time to accomplish his mighty task, and he did indeed bruise the head of the serpent. God always has a Seth to step in and carry on his purpose to fulfillment. Well, last of all, this chapter ends with the word Lord. Seth and his sons are credited with beginning the time when men began to call on the name of the Lord. Some believe that means the beginning of public worship services. I don't know. I wouldn't argue with that. But I do see the emphasis here upon prayer. And it says they called upon Jehovah, Lord, all capital letters, the most common name for God in the Old Testament. And so we close by realizing what a great privilege we have to call upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah. That name means the one who is enough. Jehovah means God who is self-existing, the God who does not need anything or anybody. He is whole and complete within himself. He does not need us. Jehovah means the one who redeems, the one who answers prayer. A wonderful name, the Lord, Jehovah. God does not need us. He would still be God without us. That's what his name means. He doesn't need us. But we sure do need him. He's still God without us. Without him, we're zero. We're nothing. We all have a lifetime to live. One lifetime. I'm glad to be living now. I really am. If I had to choose when to live, I'd want to live right now. I hope I'm on the welcoming committee for the rapture. Amen. 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 You know, these people in the Bible, they didn't know it was going to be written about them, and that Lamech never knew that his name would go down through the centuries in infamy and disgrace. If he had known that, he might have done a little different. He didn't know that. Probably hardly any of them in the Bible ever imagined that their names would be printed and that they'd be known by millions of people. It behooves us all to realize tonight that our influence is greater than we realize. It is. I guarantee you, you let a Christian mess up and the devil makes sure the whole world knows it. Let something good happen, you don't hear about that. I mean, all these things I've said tonight, good things, true history that makes us worship God and realize the Bible's true. It's all been covered up. And I'll tell you what the devil wants to do. This is how far the devil wants to go. He wants to go so far as to hide the main thing in this book, and that's who Jesus is. And believe it or not, even that is hidden from the average person. Sure, I've met people in my life who've never heard of Jesus. I tell you, that's the main part of it. All the rest of it's just the platform building up to our Lord Jesus. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate the Bible and God.